Shea Stadium in Flushing, New York, the New York Mets are on the air. Well, hi, everybody. This is Bob Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner, all set to detail every exciting moment of the historic opening of Shea Stadium as the New York Mets meet the Pittsburgh Pirates. Today's game brought to you by Rheingold Extra Dry and Viceroy Cigarettes. Well, we hope you have plenty of Rheingold Extra Dry on hand. You'll enjoy today's game even more wherever you're listening along the Rheingold Beat. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst. Rheingold after Rheingold. Smoother, crisper, livelier.
And now, before the very first ball game in Shea Stadium gets underway, let's give it the proper traditional send-off, the singing of the national anthem. Preceded by a color guard from the United States Air Force Recruiting Detachment 101 in New York City, the Department of Sanitation band will march to the center field flagpole, where Old Glory will be hoisted as that star-spangled baritone of the Metropolitan Opera, Robert Merrill, sings the one song which is dear to the hearts of all of us. Thank you.
AC, near home plate, with his ball club on the first baseline, Danny Murtaugh and the Pittsburgh Pirates on the third baseline. This game might very well be a complete sellout. Right now, there appears to be still some seats available in the upper deck, but on this beautiful, almost unbelievably good day, it is going to be very close to a capacity crowd of 55,300. 96% of the seats are within the foul lines. You've got to see this stadium. Every seat is a beautifully painted individual seat. The stadium, which is five tiers, in a horseshoe form, is open on the center field end. The giant Rheingold scoreboard is over in right center field. The green batter's eye, straight away, out behind the low fence, 410 feet away. The only thing to be seen in left center field, other than the cars across the way in the parking lot, the giant light standard. There are only two light standards. They are both in the outfield, one in left center and the other in right center. The rest of the lighting, and it is almost unbelievable, it is almost as bright as day, if not brighter, comes from the cantilevered lighting under the very top of Shea Stadium. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Department of Sanitation band has reached center field. We will have the flag-raising ceremonies followed by the singing of our national anthem. He's the crew chief of this fine umpiring team. Billy Williams will be at first base. Benny Smith umpiring at second. And Chris Delacutis will be the umpire at third. Jack Fisher throwing in his final warm-up tosses on the mound. Setting up the Mets defensively, the first baseman is Tim Harkness. Larry Burrank playing second. Sammy Somwell at short, and Ron Hunt will be at third. In the outfield, Frank Thomas in left. Jim Hickman in center. Around in right field, George Altman. Jack Fisher on the mound, and behind the plate, Jesse Gondry. On the coaching lines, Mickey Vernon, former Washington manager, coaching at first base for Danny Murtaugh. Frank Osiak will be on the coaching lines at third. And the leadoff batter in the ball game is Dick Schofield, switch-hitting shortstop of the Pirates. And ladies and gentlemen, we're ready to go. You can imagine there must be a lump in the throat of 25-year-old Jack Fisher, the Frostburg, Maryland native, as he looks in for the first sign ever taken in the $25 million ballpark named Shea Stadium. This is it. Jack Fisher is into his windup, and here's the first pitch ever, a strike on the outside corner. The roar comes up as the first pitch ever thrown in this beautiful baseball palace is over. Perhaps the tension now is broken and the game is underway. Jesse Gondry walking slowly back toward the mound, out of the outfield. The outfielders are checking their sunglasses. Breeze, not really too much of a factor in the game, blowing kind of diagonally from right across toward left. 341 feet down the foul lines to the wall. The ballpark is symmetrical, 358 in left center and right center. Here's the pitch on the way, a curve inside and low. One ball and one strike. The dimensions of the ballpark, as the fence swings out, 358 in straight left, 371 in left center, out near center, 396, and 410 feet in straightaway center field. Next pitch thrown, and he pops the ball up to short center field. Running back is Larry Burright. Burright getting to it, makes the catch. And nobody on. We're in the top half of inning number one, just underway on a historic day. Now the hitter is Bill Burton, the center fielder. Bill, veteran outfielder, one of the outstanding ball hawks of the major leagues, has two hits and 11 times at bat in the first two Pirate games. Now Ron Hunt shortens up at third against Burton, a left-hand hitter, to guard against the possibility of the bunt. Here's the pitch on the way. Strike call, a fastball on the inside corner. Danny Somwell, the shortstop, shaded towards second against Bill Burton, the right side of the infield, back deep. Now the windup pitch by Jack, a curve foul back into the crowd, and there's the first souvenir. Kind of a soft foul ball, wafted back into the field boxes, and the gentleman who gets the coveted souvenir is also given a hand. He can say, I caught the first foul ball ever caught by a fan in Shea Stadium. Now a two-strike count on Bill Burton. Now the windup and the pitch by Fisher. Slow ground ball down to third, charging in is Ron Hunt. Fair-handed pick up the peg. He got it. Good fielding by Ron Hunt. That was one of those top slow rollers. Hunt had to come in at full speed, pick the ball up with his bare hand, fire all in that same motion, and he got it. Now two outs with nobody on. One of the top hitters in the National League, Roberto Clemente. And Roberto off to a fast start with 4-for-11 in two games, hitting a 364. Clemente, a right-hand hitter. Real good bad ball hitter, and he has a lot of power to the opposite field. Curve is over at the knees, strike one. Last year, Roberto hit 320. At 76, runs batted in. Without a doubt, one of the best ball players ever acquired in the baseball draft. A little under the knees, one ball and one strike. Well, this is certainly some kind of a day. We're sorry you couldn't be with it. The excitement almost unbelievable. Tremendous crowd. I think by the time everybody settles down, it'll be very close to a capacity. Now Fisher out of his windup. The pitch to Clemente lined hard, but it will be fouled deep down the left field line. In Shea Stadium, not too much room in foul territory. The distance from home plate to the backstop, not nearly as large as in some major league ballparks. A fact that will not please the pitchers, but will please the catchers. One ball and two strikes to Roberto Clemente. Two outs and nobody on. In comes the pitch. Reached for and fouled toward the upper deck, and it'll be out of play. And that one goes all the way to the upper deck. You got to hit a ball pretty high to spin it all the way back to that upper tier. And looking around beautiful Shea Stadium, the five-tiered $25 million ballpark, we see many of the familiar Let's Go Mets banners. Feeling that a lot of the airplanes in the area are taking a purposeful trip over the stadium today to give the people a chance to see it. And you can't blame them. Now one and two is the count on Roberto Clemente. Now Jack Fisher over the head. Down comes the pitch. In the dirt, scooped out by Jesse Gonder, and the count even two balls and two strikes. Gonder did an outstanding defensive job behind the plate catching Tracy Stallard in the Wednesday night game in Philadelphia. Ballard pitched out of one tremendous jam when he had a runner on third, only one man out. He was trying, going for the strikeout, and Gonder, not once but upon three occasions, came up with a curveball down in the dirt. Now Fisher winds for the 2-2 delivery. A swing on earth, he struck him out. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. And the score in the middle of the first inning, the Pittsburgh Pirates nothing, and the New York Mets coming to bat. Well, this is the big one, no doubt about it. This is the one we've been talking about, dreaming about, waiting for. Opening day at Shea Stadium. And for the third consecutive year, the Brewers of Rheingold Extra Dry are delighted to bring the Mets games to all of you, wherever you are, along the Rheingold Beat. And there's no better way to follow the Mets than with a refreshing Rheingold Extra Dry right close by. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst because it's brewed extra dry. Smoother, crisper, livelier. Completely thirst-quenching. You know, it's no wonder all along the Rheingold Beat, people who like beer best like Rheingold best of all. So when you're out here at Shea Stadium at Rheingold's little old New York at the World's Fair or anywhere along the Rheingold Beat, enjoy the beer that's as good to your taste as it is to your thirst. Rheingold after Rheingold. Mets will be up against their number one nemesis in their young National League history, a veteran right-hander, Bob Friend. Year before last, the first year of baseball for the New York Mets, Friend beat them five times without a loss. And last year, he won three without a loss. So lifetime against New York, Bob Friend has won eight and lost none. And the Mets start this ball game having gone 47 consecutive innings against Friend without scoring. You can't be any tougher than Friend has been against New York. Now Tim Harkness steps in to lead off for New York. The veteran right-hander winds and pitches. Curve hit on the ground, foul in behind Wes Westrum. On the coaching lines for the New York Mets, former Giants standout behind the plate, Wes Westrum. And on the coaching lines at third base, a real veteran who broke in back in 1929 in the minor leagues, and in 1933 with the New York Yankees, Don Hefner. Here's the pitch on the way up. Ground ball bounced to shortstop, fielded by Dick Schofield. The peg to first in time, one man down. One away and nobody on, and that brings up right fielder George Altman. George had to miss the two Philadelphia games, so he fell on his shoulder, diving for a ball in the final game down in Florida. But he is in the lineup this afternoon, and the Mets are going to rely a great deal on the bat of George Altman. George is also an outstanding fielder. Has a good arm, and he runs well. Now, Bob Friend has his sign from Taglioroni, the windup and pitch. Fastball for a strike on the outside corner. Ron Hunt waiting on deck with Jesse Gander batting cleanup. Infield appears to be in good shape. The outfield naturally is somewhat soft because of the 3 days of rain. A foul ball hit back toward the press box and it will be out of play. Tremendous press coverage, as you can imagine, for this opening game of Shea Stadium. The official score for today's game, without a doubt, one of the most knowledgeable and most gifted baseball writers in America, Dick Young of the New York Daily News. Now Bob Friend with a two-strike count on George Altman. The right-hander winds and pitches inside and high, tried to get him to go for a bad pitch, and the count one ball and two strikes. The Pirates are playing Don Clendenin at first, Bill Mazeroski at second, Dick Schofield is at short. The third baseman is Bob Bailey. Now the pitcher on the way, a curve hit high in the air towards short center field. Bill Burton coming fast. Mazeroski goes out. Maz calls and makes the catch. Mazeroski taking the pop fly in short center, two men down. That'll bring up Ron Hunt. Now here's Ron hitting for the first time, batting third in the order. Few problems, as you would expect on opening day, with the big, beautiful message board out on the scoreboard in right center. It'll take two or three ball games for the ship to be shipshape, I suppose. Tap foul, a strike one. You certainly can't expect everything to go off perfectly on an opening day of such a tremendous project. But the fans have been extremely patient. It has been a happy day for them, and they're all set now, settled in their seats and ready for an enjoyable afternoon. One strike count on Ron Hunt. No score. We're in the last half of inning number one. Now, Friend cranks up. Down comes his pitch. Ron lays off. He jammed him with that one. One ball and one strike. Today's baseball in the major leagues with the hitters all going to the thin handle bats, the light bats that they can whip around in a hurry. The pitchers more and more try to jam that fastball in on the wrist and hit that thin bat handle. Pitch to Hunt. He pops it up. A foul ball. This will be out of play. Clendenin goes over, but it drops into the crowd. 9,000 field boxes in this beautiful stadium. They graduate from the dugout back toward the Loge level. The 9,000 field boxes in baseball position now when the New York football Jets play their games here in the fall. They are on a track, and they roll around and become 50-yard line seats. The 1-2 delivery to Ron Hunt. A ground ball tapped slowly to shortstop. Up to the ball is Schofield. He pegs the cross in time, and the side is out. The Mets go down 1-2-3 in their half of the first. No runs, no hits, no errors, and then left on. At the end of one, the score at Shea Stadium. The Pirates nothing, the Mets nothing. Well, the fans here today, and we think the crowd is certainly around 50,000, are getting their first look at a glossy dedication book. Wonderful souvenir of these first few days at Shea Stadium. You'll find the dedication book containing stories of how this stadium was built and conceived. The story of the man behind it, the man who headed up the mayor's committee, Bill Shea, and the man for whom this stadium is named. A wonderful story on Casey Stengel and pictures of the New York Mets. The dedication book will be on sale here at Shea Stadium for only a few days at $1 and available by mail order for $1. If you'd like to get a copy by mail, send $1 to dedication book, Shea Stadium, Flushing, New York. Right here, we pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
For Mets baseball, for the best in music, news, and sports, keep your dial set at 810, the smoothest sound around, WGY Schenectady.
Bob Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner from Shea Stadium. Willie Stargell, the left fielder and cleanup batter, will lead off against Jack Fisher. Stargell, 4-for-11 in the first two games, sitting at 364. And Danny Murtaugh is looking for great improvement in the Pirate Club this year, mainly on the improved hitting of Willie Stargell and Bob Bailey. Now Fisher, out of his windup, the pitch. Long drive, hit deep to right field, it might go, it's going, going, gone, a home run. Willie Stargell with a line drive home run. It just cleared the brick wall near the foul pole at the 341-foot mark. That was a perfect stroke for this ballpark. Right down the line to 341 feet. The brick wall is not very high, and anything that clears that brick wall, the wall separates where the players stay in the bullpen and the foul pole, and anything that clears that 10-foot wall is a home run. A hard hit, line drive for a home run. Here's the pitcher on the way to Don Clendenin, taking low, one ball and no strikes. Jack Fisher got the Bucks 1-2-3 in the opening inning. Stargell got under a low curve and lined a home run, a fastball over a call strike, one ball and one strike. You will not be able to see the pitchers warming up in the bullpens at Shea Stadium. Those in the bullpen can watch the ball game. Off the outside corner, two balls and a strike. They are behind a screen in left and right field where the bench is placed for them to watch the ball game, but when they get up to go out and warm up, they then will be out of view behind the wall. 2-1 delivery is a squibbler going foul to the left, and the count even 2-2. So we're underway here in the beautiful ballpark in the first of 81 ball games to be played here during the summer. We hope that you'll be on hand just as often as you can. Now Jack looking in to get his sign from Jesse Gonder. The outfield is stride toward left against Don Clendenin. Clendenin, who stands 6'4", hits out of a crowd. And he pops this one high in the air, a foul ball. Harkness may have room. He's drifting back and toward the crowd. And he makes the catch. The home run by Willie Stargell is the first homer for the Pirates this year. Stargell and Bailey both had a great spring, and that's why the Pirates feel they'll be improved this year. During spring training, Stargell hit 6 home runs. Now one away and nobody on it. Here's Bob Bailey, and like Stargell, he was red hot all through the spring. This is the ball player the Pirates gave about $125,000 to sign. This is his sophomore season. Breaking ball in the outside corner, a call strike. Fisher over the head, down comes the arm. Ground ball flashed down to third, takes a bad hop, and goes off the glove of Ron Hunt and on into left field. Ron was all set to play that one, figured he'd have about a belt-high hop. But the ball took a bad hop coming off the carpet and winds up in left field for a base hit. Now Pittsburgh, one out and one on, and the batter is Bill Mazeroski, the veteran second baseman and captain of the Pirate Ball Club. By the players for the All-Star team last year, Maz had to miss the game due to an injury, and Javier played the All-Star game. He's quite a ball player. Here's the pitch to him. Grounder hit down toward third. Hunt has it. The play goes to second. There's one. No chance for two. Low throw to first. Harkness digs it out. Burright came on inside for two and almost threw it away. Harkness saved it on a scoop. Two away, and that'll bring up the catcher, the former Red Sox receiver, Jim Pagliarone. Tall, rangy, right-hand hitter from Long Beach, California, and when he came out of high school, he got a sack full of money to sign. Pirates one, Mets nothing. We're in the top of the second. They lead on a one-run homer by Willie Stargell, a line drive to right. Breaking ball in the dirt. Gonder is up with it. One ball and no strikes. In the National League, the Phillies and Cubs have a day game on tap. Braves and the Houston Colt 45s will be in Houston under the lights. Cincinnati and the Los Angeles Dodgers under the lights. St. Louis and the San Francisco Giants under the lights. In the American League, there will be 3-day games and 2-night games. Here's the pitch on the way, and he pops his foul. This will be out of play over into the crowd. And a lot of the youngsters who are enjoying the excitement of this day are well equipped for the foul balls. They brought along their ball gloves. This is the opening of a 7-game homestand. Tomorrow will be Ladies' Day, the first Ladies' Day for Shea Stadium. Now Fisher up in pitching position, delivers to Pagliarone. He jammed him with a fastball. He made him wiggle. He had to get out of there. 2 balls and 1 strike. Now Big Jack looking in for his bat. The runner on first is Bill Mazeroski. There are 2 men away. The infield around toward left. Here's the pitch on the way. Foul ball back toward the upright screen. Most of the crowd is still basking in the sunshine. The shadows now have taken the sunshine away from those in the area immediately behind home plate. The first time they have a night game here, it will be on May 6th when the Cincinnati Reds are in town. And you'll be in for a real treat when you see the lights come on in this ballpark. Here's the pitch on the way, and he pops it up. It may be or may not be playable. It's going to be into the crowd over by first base. Well, plenty of souvenirs in the early going, and prize souvenirs they'll be. Pittsburgh 1, New York nothing, top half of the second. Working rather deliberately. Looking into Jesse Gonder now to get his sign, and as he takes too much time, Pagliarone decides to step out. Mazeroski edging away at first, the pitch thrown. Ground ball on the right side of the diamond. Burr right to his glove side. He's up, throws to first, the side is out. 1 run, 2 hits. A home run and a bad hop single. No errors and 1 left on. At the end of an inning and a half, the score of the Pirates 1 and the New York Mets nothing. And now some music to have a rain go by.
There's a lot of living being done, a lot of living and a lot of fun.
Now the last half of inning number 2, New York coming up against right-hander Bob Pratt. Gander will be leading off for the New York Mets against Friend in the last half of the second. This is an exciting day and a very happy day, naturally, for everyone. I don't think you can single out any group or any faction that would be happier than another. Probably, without a doubt, the happiest individual is Bill Shea. There are a group of young women who are happy. A high fly ball hit by Jesse Gander, not deep enough. Moving toward the line for many, he's under it. And Roberto makes the basket-style catch near the line in fairly deep right field. Very attractive group of young mothers who are very excited today, of course, will be the wives of the ball players. They are in the box seats right behind the upright screen. One away and nobody on. The hitter is Frank Thomas. Tell you one fellow that doesn't appear to be too nervous on this opener is the Pirate broadcaster, Bob Brent, and his colleague, Jim Woods. Jim, of course, worked here in New York with the Yankees for a number of years. And when Ralph was out in Pittsburgh playing for the Pirates, Bob was the broadcaster, and they were very close friends. Now the pitch is over to Thomas for a call strike. We mentioned earlier that the stadium is multicolored. The 9,000 field boxes have been painted yellow. Foul ball back toward the press box. No play. Drop just under the press level. The first level after the field boxes, which graduate from the dugout, back to that first level. That is known as the Lodge level. They're wonderful seats. I guess you'd call that kind of a rust color. Between a brown and a red. And you go up to the mezzanine level where they are blue. And on up to the upper deck where it's kind of a light pastel green. A swing and a miss, strike three. Thomas struck out by a friend. Two down now, nobody on in the last of the second. Well, friend has been as tough as you can be for the New York Mets. He has not given up an earned run to the New York Mets in almost 49 innings. Now two outs and nobody on. Pittsburgh in front, 1-0, and the hitter is Jim Hickman. Friend with that herky-jerky tap windup, and the pitch breaking ball over, strike one call. Now Friend has his sign from Pagliarone, winds and pitches. Breaking ball, foul tip, and a two-strike count. Friend isn't throwing hard. He's just pinpointing that slow breaking stuff, and he's baffling.
Bob, I don't know how you can tell what color the seats are because I can't see the color with all the people sitting on them.
Well, you're right, Ralph, because most of the people are here and most of the seats are taken. But I had taken a preview look before they got here.
You're one of those smart fellas, huh?
No, not really. That was a great line. Most of the people are here. Here's the pitcher on the way. Outside and low. One ball and two strikes. Well, if we make mistakes in the booth today, I guess they'll just have to forgive us because a fella can get a little nervous on a day like this.
You know, it's amazing how well it did come off. In spite of the fact that no one had ever operated here before, traffic worked out well. Everyone got to the sink without too much trouble, and the X's were on their first eye, too.
Outside and low. Two balls and two strikes. Just across the street from this beautiful stadium, of course, the World's Fair, which opens next week on April 22nd. When you visit the fair, we hope you'll pay a visit to Wrangell's little old New York. You'll enjoy the old-time tavern, the sidewalk cafe, and the charming Victorian restaurant. Two and two, the count on Jim Hickman. Pitch thrown by a friend of fastball. He takes it low, and we have a full count, 3-2. Jim started to go, and then he held up just at the right time.
You probably can't see them, Bob, but there's a special viewpoint over here right off of the subway where the people who take the ramp down from the subway are watching the ball game. It's that close.
It just couldn't be more convenient. Outside and low, ball four, and Hickman becomes the first base runner in the stadium for the New York Mets. Well, I'm sure that many of this big crowd came by public transportation. By either the Flushing IRT from Times Square or Long Island Railroad from Penn Station. Many came by bus, and many came in the automobiles that have filled the parking lot. Now, Sammy Samwell, playing shortstop today, hitting number 7, is up against Bob Friend. The right-hander's delivery out of the strike zone. One ball and no strikes. Ladies' Day, so we hope that you gals will get your group together and enjoy the beauty of Shea Stadium and the action of the Mets against Pittsburgh tomorrow. The game tomorrow, ladies admitted for the 50-cent service charge. A ground ball fouled on the third baseline. Backhand play by Bailey to no avail, and the count one ball and one strike. John Payson is here and really enjoying the beauty of the new ballpark. The excitement of seeing the Mets in action. She saw them play during spring training down in Florida. Pitch thrown to Somwell. Foul ball. He ripped that one. Right in front of Don Hefner, the third base coach. That big message board on that fabulous scoreboard we've been talking about in Riot Center, they have quite a piece of information posted about the guests of the Mets today, the members of the Hall of Fame. The six non-pitching Hall of Fame members who are here today accounted for a total of almost 16,000 base hits. A swing and a miss, and Somwell goes down swinging. Side retired in the second. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one left. Now, two innings complete, and the score, the Pirates won on a home run by Willie Stargell, and the New York Mets, nothing. Tomorrow will be Ladies' Day here at Shea Stadium, the second of the three-game series with Danny Murtaugh's Pirates. This series will conclude with a Sunday afternoon game. We hope you're planning to be with us. Tomorrow, being Ladies' Day, ladies will be admitted at the gate for the service charge of 50 cents. After the Pirates series, which winds up with a Sunday game, Gene Mock brings the Philadelphia Phillies in for afternoon games Monday and Tuesday of this next week. That's April 20th and 21st. Following the visit of the Phillies, the seven-game homestand will wind up with Bob Kennedy bringing the Chicago Cubs in for two games on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. That's April 22nd and April 23rd. If you're in the area of Flushing, the Shea Stadium ticket office will be available to you, and of course, tickets are also available in Midtown Manhattan at Grand Central Station, also the Long Island waiting room of the Penn Station. And for the boosters of the Mets in the Long Island area who live near the Nassau-Suffolk County line, the Mets have a brand new ticket outlet located this year in the Walt Whitman Shopping Center at Macy's in Huntington. Right here, we go along to the third inning, and here's a man who knew many exciting days and many thrills as a great player with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, another kind of a thrill against his old team of the Pirates, Ralph Kiner.
Thank you, Bob, and it's certainly a pleasure to be with you here today. This has been one of the big thrills for everyone, including the Hall of Famers, the players that are playing today, and for me, too, that's for sure. First man up is former teammate Bob Friend. Bob, a right-hand batter, wearing number 19. And the first pitch by Jack Fisher to Friend is called strike one, a fastball at the knees. Friend is the only Pirate left in the ball club from the old days, prior to Branch Rickey coming in there back in 1952. One strike pitch is a high pitch, swung on a miss, strike two. Two-strike count to Bob Friend as Jack Fisher works on the mound for the Mets. And Fisher misses with a slider outside, ball one. One ball, two strikes. Friend came to the Pirates back in 1951. He's the oldest Pirate from point of service on the ball club. His best year in the majors, a 22-14 year back in 1958. Bob last year won 17, lost 16. The pitch back to him is a curveball, a swing. He missed it. Strike three. Strikeout. Number two for Jack Fisher, and he now has one out here in the top of the third. The Pirates lead 1-0. That'll bring up the top of the batting order, Dick Schofield. Dick, a left-hand batter, pops to second his first time up. A good play by Larry Burright. Schofield has one hit and three times up so far this year. And his first pitch is a curve taken inside, ball one. Tom Gorman is the home plate umpire, and Tom, a local New York boy, and he was switched around in order so he could open up here in Shea Stadium. He originally was scheduled to open up the opening day game because he's the umpire in chief of this crew. But he held out of the other two assignments and came in here for opening day in this ballpark. There's the ball hit back to the mound. Fisher knocks it down, picks it out of the air, and throws to first. Retires his man, and that's two men out here with the batter coming in, Bill Burden. Bill grounded out the third, and Ron Hunt made a nice coming in play to get him at first base. Burden with two hits and 12 times up this year. He wears glasses. First pitch is a curve inside and low, ball one. Burden was originally signed by the New York Yankees, and he was involved in a trade returning to St. Louis. It was one of the most controversial trades made around St. Louis. It saw Enos Slaughter go to the Yankees. Slaughter, an all-time favorite with St. Louis Cardinals, leaving that ball club for the first and last time. Burton later came over to Pittsburgh. In a trade that sent Dick Littlefield and outfielder Bobby DeGreco to St. Louis. There's a line drive to right center, base hit. Coming in is George Altman. He picks it up, throws on in, and that ball, after hitting, just died right out. That outfield is very wet. Some Pirates now have their third hit in the ball game with two out here in the top of the third. They lead 1-0. And the batter now will be Roberto Clemente. Roberto struck out in the curve his first time up. Right-hand batting right fielder. Clemente is another player acquired by Pittsburgh, and he was picked up for a steal. He originally signed with Brooklyn, was drafted from Montreal. Dodgers tried to hide him at Montreal and couldn't do it. Pirates got him to throw to first base, but not close. Drafted for $10,000. Pitch back to Clemente, lying to right field. A beautiful hit right down the line. Burton throwing to third base. No play there. And Clemente has to hold it first, and a good play by George Altman. Clemente reached out and hit an outside curveball right by the first baseman. A shot to right field. Couldn't hit it any better. So two in a row now for the Pirates. They have runners at first and third with two outs. And the batter is Willie Stargell, who has accounted for the only run of the ball game. Stargell credited with the first base hit ever made in Shea Stadium, and it was a big one, a home run to right field. Stargell, a left-hand batter with tremendous power. He's being touted as quite a ball player by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Last year, he saw a short service with Pittsburgh, batted 243 with 11 home runs. He played in 108 games. And the pitch is hit on the ground. Down to the second base for Burride. He juggles the ball, picks it up, throws the first in time. All the Pirates, no runs on two hits. No errors, two men left, and the score at the end of 2.5. The Pirates won, the Mets nothing.
Bottom half of the third with the Pirates out in the field. They lead 1-0. The Mets will be setting up for the first time in this ball game, their eighth, ninth hitters. It'll be Larry Burride and then Jack Fisher. After that, they go to the top of the batting order, and it'll be Tim Marchman. Bob Friend, with a record of 8 wins and no losses against the Mets, working on the mound. He has not given up a base hit. The only man to reach first base was Jim Hickman. Jim walked in the second. Friend, the right-hander, working now to Larry Burright. Larry's making his debut as a batter right here in Shea Stadium. And the first pitch to him is bounced back to the mound, a one-hopper. Friend takes it, goes to first, and gets his man. One pitch, one out, and now the batter will be Jack Fisher. Jack had a good spring with the bat. He and Tracy Stallard were the two leading hitters on the ball club. Of course, in spring training, if you don't get the bat too often, you can lead a ball club. Wearing 19. He's quite a fan of Bob's colors, and Bob wore the same number, 19. He has a lot of mannerisms in his pitching performance. And he comes in with a curveball. All strike one. Friend uses the same rocking motion as he starts to pitch, and he backs to the pitching rubber after throwing the same way the color did. Backs back up to it. Now the pitch back to the plate. A fun attempt, but fouled off. Strike two. Jack Fisher trying to catch Bob Bailey a little bit deep at third base. Bailey was used in the outfield during spring training, but not actually as any special reason. Danny Murtaugh, the manager of the Pirates, said that he just wanted to get some versatility in his lineup. He wanted to see how he could play out there. He had planned to use him at third all along. Now Friend at two strikes. Then he throws a slider. It swung on a miss, strike three. Friend with his third strikeout in the game, now with two men out in the bottom of the third. Score 1-0 in favor of the Pirates, and Tim Harkness coming up for the second time. Harkness bounced to short as the first batter for the Mets in Shea Stadium. Hey, I hope you're enjoying today's game, and I know you'll enjoy Viceroy, because Viceroy's got the deep weave filler, and the taste that's right. First pitch to Harkness, an outside strike right in the corner, fastball.
Him standing quite a ways from that plate. He'll have to go to left field with a fastball because Friend's fastball breaks away from a left-hand batter. Now the pitch back, a let-up type pitch, outside again, this time too far. One ball, one strike. That could have been a knuckleball, but if it is, it's a new pitch for Bob Friend. He took something off the pitch and sort of threw it up there like he might have been throwing a knuckleball. Now at 1-1, the pitch to Harkness is a curve, swung on a miss. Strike two, good curveball by Friend. Only run of the ball game, the first hit in Shea Stadium, a home run by Willie Stargell. One ball, two strikes with two men out. Here's the pitch to Harkness. Fastball bounced down in the dirt, it goes foul. Wes Western coming over to pick it up. We were talking with Wes. He had been with the Giants, of course, here in New York and was with the Giants in San Francisco. We were talking about how did he like this ballpark. He says, I can't believe it. Well, I tell you right now, nobody can believe it. You've got to see it to believe it. And then you won't believe it. Tomorrow, the Pirates play Pittsburgh, a Ladies' Day game, starting at 2 o'clock. Pitch back is again that let-up pitch. It's fouled down the dirt. That could be a knuckleball. We'll have to check on that. Yes, tomorrow, Ladies' Day, and ladies get in for 20 for 50 cents, and that's in the general admission area. And for you ladies that haven't seen this place, can't think of a better time than tomorrow. At that price, you can't beat it. Third ball, line to right, a base hit, the first hit, base hit. Is picking up the first Met base hit here in Shea Stadium, and the Mets now have the tying run at first base, and George Altman coming up. Well, Harkness, that's his fourth base hit this year. He is 4-for-7. George Altman batting for the second time. He popped to second base his first time up. Left-hand batter playing in right field. And Bob Friend with his first pitch outside, ball one. Friend with a fastball. George missed the first two games in Philadelphia, won by the Phillies. That's had plenty of hitting in that series with Philadelphia. Philadelphia gloves taking the first game away and then the bats the second. Altman takes high, ball two. Two balls, no strike. Jack Fisher working for the Mets against Bob Friend. Friend working right now to George Altman with the time run at first base. Two men out, bottom half to third. And a pitch back to Altman, hit right back to Friend. A one-hopper, he takes it. Throws to first base and that retires the side. Again, that was that off-speed pitch. It looks like a knuckleball. In the inning for the Mets, they get their first base hit and chase hit him. There were no runs. And one man was left on base. And the score at the end of three, the Pirates won, the New York Mets nothing. Say, it kind of gets you good, doesn't it? When you're right in the middle of a Mets game and the action is red hot, so are you. And you go to the refrigerator for a line gold and you're completely out. Well, that can happen in the best of families along the Rheingold beat. But there's a real good way to avoid a repeat performance. Plan ahead by getting 2 6-packs of Rheingold Extra Dry instead of one next time you go to the store. Then you'll have twice as much Rheingold to enjoy twice as long. And enjoy it you will, because Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst. It's crisper, smoother, livelier. Brewed Extra Dry, very special way. So be good to yourself. Keep one of your Rheingold Extra Dry at hand. Or get one in hand right now. Remember, Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst. Rheingold after Rheingold. Well, we've had one third behind us now. We're moving to the top of the fourth. The Pirates lead 1-0 as they come to bat against Jack Fisher.
Fisher has given up one run, allowed three hits, struck out two, and walked none. And he'll be working to Don Clendenin, big first baseman for Pittsburgh. Don fouled out his first time up. And this time he pops one in the air to right center field, moving over Zickman, also George Altman. Altman falls, and he makes the catch. Ball caught just in front of the warning track as the wind took the ball toward George Altman and away from Jim Hickman. It's real tough running in that outfield. You really have to pick him up and lay him down. Snowshoes would come in mighty handy out there to keep him from sinking in. So one out now, and the batter coming up will be Bob Bailey. Bob had a base hit his first time up and a bad hop grounder that deflected off the glove of Ron Hunt at third. Bailey, a right-hand batter, and Fisher with his first pitch is low and outside with a breaking pitch. Ball one. Bailey, 5-for-11. That's quite a start. He hit quite a spring. He got a base hit his first 10 times up in spring training. He's got a good bat. Slider's outside, ball two. They gave this fellow the whole score when he signed up. About $170,000 worth. Out of Long Beach, California. Now the 2-0 delivery by Jack Fisher. Swung on and missed. A curveball. Strike one. Last year, Bailey showed that he had good power and could hit the fastball, but he had a lot of trouble with breaking pitches. He batted 228, had 12 home runs with 45 runs batted in. He played 154 games. Now Fisher back with a slider, hit sharply through the middle into center field. Ball just by Sammy Samwell. So Bailey continues his hitting streak. He's 2-for-2 in this game. While we wait for the next batter to come to bat, we'll pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
For Mets baseball, for the best in music, news, and sports, keep your dials set at 810, the smoothest sound around, WGY Schenectady.
Ralph Kiner, along with Bob Murphy and Lindsey Nelson from beautiful Shea Stadium. The score 1-0 in favor of the Pirates. They're batting here in the fourth with a man on first base and no one out. And the batter is Bill Mazeroski, right-hand batting second baseman. And he takes a curveball. It's too high, ball one. Now he's hitting to a force play his first time up. Fisher is set, takes a look at first base, and comes back in with a fastball. It's hit foul, bouncing over toward the dugout. Visiting dugouts on the third base side. The Mets are on the first base side. Dressing rooms for both dugouts right behind. Beautiful dressing room area. I'd like to have the carpet in my house if they got in that locker room. Everything about this ballpark is luxurious. A throw at first base, but no tag made by Jim Harkness as Bailey gets back ahead of the top. He's stepping out of the batter's box. Frank Osiak giving the signs from third base. Mickey Vernon at first base for Pittsburgh. Fisher backs off the pitcher rubber. That chases Bailey back. There's a hard fastball right in there. Swing and a miss. One ball, two strikes. That looked like there might have been a hit and run play on because Mazeroski went for the pitch even though it was outside of the strike zone. But Jack Fisher, working on the mound, had put Bailey back toward first and pitched very quickly, and Bailey couldn't get going. So it cost Mazeroski a strike to count now 1-2. There goes Bailey. The pitch is hit in the center field, a base hit. Bailey will get third base. Hickman comes over, picks it up. He throws on into second. And now Bailey rounding third is held up by Osiak. He started to break on end, but was held up quickly by the third base coach. Runners now at first and third with one out. And the batter is the catcher, Jim Pagliarone, with a pitcher due up next. Five hits off Jack Fisher. The score 1-0. The Pirates lead. That six hits. The Pirates had two hits in the second, two in the third, and now two here in the fourth.
to second base his first time out. Manager Casey Stengel has the infield back for the double play. And the first pitch is down low. A good play by Garner to come up with it. Ball one. Pass ball outside and low. Pitch back to Pagliarone. A fastball inside. Right at the knees. Strike call. One ball, one strike. Right on the inside corner at the knees. Fisher working in and out against the big right-hand batter. Now he sets again. Runners at first and third. Here's the pitch. Breaking pitch down too low and outside. Ball two. Fisher working carefully here with a pitcher in the on-deck circle. Big point in this ball game with the Pirates threatening with runners at first and third and one man out. Now the right-hander comes back again. And a fastball is just low. Ball. Looking for the sign as to whether or not he'll be hitting. Fisher set. And the pitch. Bounce foul down toward the third base coach. Pagliarone right over the top of a curveball. Ken has worked all the way down the line now to the right-hand batter. Lazarowski checking with Mickey Vernon at first base as to whether or not he'll be going. Ron Hunt moving over back of the bag at third, but Bailey was not too surprised. He was right near it. Fisher set. The runner goes. The pitch is hit on the ground. Down to third. Ron Hunt comes home. A good play, and he got his man. With no chance to make a double play as the runner was going, and he was set back court, quickly switched and took the other option, and he's got his man at home. A good play by Ron Hunt at third base. 4-2 if you're scoring. Make it 5-2 if you're scoring. And now with two men out, Bob Friend will bat with runners at first and second. Good heads-up play by Ron Hunt playing third base. Friend, the batter, right-hand batting pitcher. He struck out his first time up. And the first pitch. Fastball, a swing and a miss. Strike one. Pittsburgh Pirates lead 1-0 on a home run, the very first hit in this ballpark by Willie Stargell. Home run hit down the right field line about 350 feet away. Now the right-hander, Jack Fisher, looks at second, comes in home with a slider, hit out to left field high in the air. Right there is Frank Thomas, glasses down, he's under it, and he makes the catch, and that retires the side. Good pitching by Jack Fisher to get out of the inning. No runs on two hits, no errors, two men left on base, and a score. At the end of 3.5 innings, the Pirates won the New York Mets nothing. Now music to twist all the way to the refrigerator bar. Fourth, the Pirates out of the field. The Mets coming up to bat. They need one to tie. Pittsburgh, one run on six hits. The Mets have no runs and one base hit. On the mound for the Pirates, veteran Bob Friend. He'll be working to the third, fourth, and fifth batters here in this inning. It'll be Ron Hunt, Jesse Gonder, and Frank Thomas.
Pittsburgh will play here tomorrow, Ladies' Day, at 2 p.m. They'll play on Sunday a single game, 2 p.m. And then after Pittsburgh, it'll be the Philadelphia Phillies back in. They'll play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then it'll be the Chicago Cubs on Thursday. Make that Wednesday and Thursday. The Cubs are on Wednesday and Thursday. The Phillies are on Monday and Tuesday. All-day game. Now, Friend, who had taken his time coming out after flying out, is all set to go on the mound. He'll be working to Ron Hunt. Ron's on it off the short his first time up. Right-hand batting third baseman. Crowd stirring up some excitement here as we start the bottom half of the fourth. The first pitch is high, a puff ball. Doesn't appear to be blowing too much. The flag in center field and straightaway center field just moving very easily. But the wind current right here today is blowing in from right field. Now the pitch back. A check in the swing, but not in time. One ball, one strike. Strike. Friend back to Hunt with a slider upon attempt but foul. Ball going back of home plate on the ground. So Ron Hunt falls behind. One ball and two strikes. Manager Casey Stengel in his usual position. You can just see him over the top of the dugout. One foot in the very top step of the dugout. Leaning forward, watching the ball game. This has been quite a day for Casey, too. This is the fifth ballpark in New York that Casey has either played in or managed in. The only man that can say that. There's a drive deep to right field, moving way back to Cimini, and he drops the ball. Ron Hunt goes into second base, and he holds there. Roberto Cimini, with a long running try, tried to one-hand the ball as he was moving away from the diamond and hit in his glove and popped out. It'll probably go as a base hit. There's the hit sign, a two-base hit for Ron Hunt at deep right center field. And the Mets now have a runner at second base for the first time in the ballgame. That is the time run, and Jesse Gondar's coming up. That ball was hit deep to right center field. And Cimini, a great outfielder, got one hand on it. He got the ball in the pocket of his glove, but it popped out. He was running away from the field at the time, and he was about at the 370 mark. Now here is Jesse Gondar, left-hand batting catcher. The first pitch hit on the ground, deep in the hole. It goes on through. Here comes Hunt, and a great throw. At Cimini's throw, it is caught in time. Foul argument by Danny Murtaugh. Close play. Harvey Rooney, the catcher, thought he had the play blocked, but Ron Hunt slid in and was called safe. Rooney made a perfect throw. He's got a great arm, but Hunt got in there, and holding at first base on the play home was Jesse Gondar with the first run batted in here in Shea Stadium for the Mets. The Mets now have broken the string that Bob Friend held over them. He had quite a spell. He has gone 50 innings prior to the run without an earned run being scored off of him by the New York Mets. That run certainly earned. With no one out here in the bottom half of the fourth, it's a brand new ball game. The score 1-1, and the first argument of Jay Stadium has just taken place. Danny Murtaugh going back to the dugout. The argument was that Ron Hunt never got to home plate. He was blocked there by Holly Aroni, but Tom Gorman, the home plate umpire, said he got in there before the tag was made. So it's 1-1, and the batter is Frank Thomas. Right-hand batting left fielder, and the first pitch by Bob Friend. Bounce back through the middle, picked up off the bag. It's a base hit. Hunt is going to third.
first. That was a bouncing ball, not hit too hard, right through the middle. Bill Mazeroski was right back at second base, all set to pick it up. It was a big hopper, but the ball hit the bag and deflected out into center field. It'll be a base hit for Thomas. On the play, Jesse Connor went to third. Well, the Mets now with three in a row. Runners at first and third, a run in, no one out, the batter's Jim Hickman. Jim was the first Mets base runner when he walked in the second. Against Jim Hickman in the pitch. And it hits Hickman on the hand. He goes down, and it got him on his left hand, and that hurt. That ball could really hurt him. And Fran is up. Bobby Rooney's out of the game. It's either Bob Friend or Bobby Rooney. Either Bob Friend or Bobby Rooney is out of the ball game. Big argument by the Pirates saying that ball didn't hit his hand, it hit the bat. Over from the close play at home plate when Ron Hunt scored the tying run for the Mets. Hickman is now being administered by trainer Gus Mosch. He was hit hard in the hand. Now he's going down to first base.
Orlando McFarlane is coming in from the bullpen. He'll probably be the catcher in the ball game. Still being looked at this time by Casey Stengel. There was no doubt in Hickman's mind, nor in trainer Gus Mosch's mind, that Hickman had been struck on the back of the hand. They had to freeze the hand. And he has come out of the ball game, and Larry Elliott has come in to run for Jim Hickman. Right now, the New York Mets have the bases loaded. The Pirates have a new catcher in Orlando McFarlane, and all of a sudden to follow the action for you, Ralph Gainer.
Okay, Bob, and Bob Friend checking the signals over with McFarlane, his new catcher. Mets have the bases loaded. Larry Elliott running for Jim Hickman's at first base. Frank Thomas is at second base, and Jesse Garner is on at third. No one out. The ball game all tied up at 1-1 here in the bottom of the fourth. And the batter is Sammy Samwell. Sam, a right-hand batter, playing shortstop today. And here's the first pitch. A swing and a curveball. Strike one. Struck out of the curve his first time up. Well, the Mets now have had their first ejection in this ballpark. Actually, they did not have it. The Pirates were the first to have a man thrown out, but it has happened right here in the new stadium. Now the one strike pitch, a curve he lays off just in time. Friend going for the outside corner, missing. One ball, one strike. Now the catcher. And the pitch back line, another line, a fair ball. Throwing is Jesse Garner. Falling down but now getting up is Frank Thomas. He'll score. The throw goes into the cutoff man. And Samwell has put the Mets out in front. With a sharp line drive over the bag to hit in fair territory. Right down the left field line. It scored first Jesse Garner. Frank Thomas later scored after falling down rounding third base. He got up and had time to come in. And moving over to third base on the play is Larry Elliott. Sam Wall in at second with his double and two runs batted in. The Mets lead it by a 3-1 score. The batter now is Larry Burleigh. Infield pulled in as Larry comes to bat for the second time. And the first pitch is rolled back to the mound. Friend gets it out, throws to first base, holding the runner at third. Friend actually almost fell down in picking that ball up in his haste. That's the first out for Pittsburgh against the Mets here in the inning, and it brings up Jack Fisher. Jack Fisher now the batter with the Mets still having runners at second and third base. They lead in the ball game 3-1 here in the bottom half of the fourth. Is
pitcher, right-hand batter. Infield still in. They're set to make a play at the plate. Larry Elliott comes on in. And now Friend looking for the sign from Orlando McFarland. Here's the windup and the pitch. Fastball bunted back to the mound as Casey squeezed. No one coming in from third. Friend picks it up after juggling the ball and has time to go to first base to get his man.
And the score, at the end of four, the Mets 3, the Pittsburgh Pirates 1. Well, tomorrow, Ladies' Day here at Shea Stadium, the New York Mets beating Pittsburgh. Tickets will be on sale at Shea Stadium. The ladies tomorrow attending the game and buying their tickets to the game will be admitted for the 50-cent service trip. The Mets have their ticket locations here at Shea Stadium, 126th and Roosevelt Avenue. Also in Manhattan at Pennsylvania Station, the Long Island Waiting Room, at Grand Central Station near the foot of the 42nd Street, Vanderbilt Avenue ramp. And also this year, New York Mets tickets are on sale in Macy's in the Walt Whitman Shopping Center in Huntington, Long Island. Remember, too, that reservations may be made for all of the remaining 80 home games this season at all Howard Close stores in the New York area. Jim Hickman forced out of the game when he was hit on the back of the hand by a pitch. Larry Elliott, who came in as a runner for him, now takes his place in center field. Larry, a good defensive ball player, a left-hand thrower with a very strong and a very accurate throwing arm. Pittsburgh will have the top of the batting order up against Jack Fisher in the fifth inning. It's now New York 3, Pittsburgh 1. Pittsburgh has out-hit the Mets 6-5, Mets in front 3-1. It's the Schofield, it's inside and low, one ball and no strike. Hunt playing on the grass at third against Schofield, a left-hand hitter. Schofield chokes up on the bat. Now the pitch to him. Breaking ball over, a call strike. One ball and one strike. The first pitch of the afternoon that brought up a big cry from the crowd here at Shea Stadium was over on the outside corner for a strike. Pirates got their run on a second-inning homer by Willie Stargell. Fastball strike called on the outside corner. One ball and two strikes. Well, this game has been jam-packed with a lot of excitement over the first four innings, including the excitement of a close play at the plate, a heated argument, and later, the banishment of a ball player. The 1-2 delivery. Almost a wild heave, no damage done. 2-2. Infield astride toward right against which hitter Schofield is up there left-handed against Jack Fisher. Jack, a 25-year-old right-hander, a native of Frostburg, Maryland. Into his windup, now the 2-2 pitch. Way inside, he made him jump to get out of the way of that one. Last two pitches thrown by Fisher have really been wild and way out of the strike zone. Shea Stadium does not have, the way it is built, a great deal of standing room. There are many fans standing over on the left and right field end of the big horseshoe. Only the seats on the extreme ends of the horseshoe are out of the foul line. Foul ball on the ground coming right straight back. 3-2. 96% of all the seats, over 55,000, are within the foul pole. We're getting a report now on Jim Hickman from the New York Mets clubhouse, and we'll relay the information to you. Inside and low, ball four. And Fisher walks Schofield, the leadoff batter, in the fifth inning. There's the first walk given up by Fisher, and it brings up Bill Verdon. Jim Hickman was hit on the hand. He got his ring finger and also his pinky, and they'll have to take x-rays to see whether or not there's any broken bones. Now the pitch on the way. Fastball taken high. One ball and no strikes to Bill Verdon. We're getting warm-up action now for the first time in the New York Mets bullpen. Jack looking in for his sign, nobody out with a runner on. And he steps off facing Schofield back to first. Ground ball hit down to Hartness. He fires to foul wall one, back to first. Double play. Three double play. Hartness to Farwell and back to Hartness. Ground ball was hit right at Tim, who grabbed it in a hurry, about even with the bag, and started the double play. Now two outs and nobody on. That'll bring up Roberto Clemente, and that's the way you like to see him come up, with nobody on. Sprays line drives to all fields. They play him straight away. A drive hit hard to right center field, a base hit. Altman moving over, snags it. Clemente dashes around first and holds on as Altman plays the ball back in. So Roberto Clemente, and now two for three, coming up to hit as Willie Stargell. He hit a home run with a line drive in the second. That for the Pirates is their seventh hit. Mets 3 and the Pirates 1. Pittsburgh 7 hits, New York 5. Now Fisher looking in to Jesse Gonder to get his sign. Stadium shadows now reaching out to the home plate area. Here's the pitch on the way. A drive hit hard to right center. Altman running at full speed, reaches up, can't get it. It's over his head for a base hit. Elliott picking it up. Clemente is around second holding, dashing for the plate, and in the score comes Clemente as Stargell goes into second with a long double to deep right center. Willie Stargell makes it a 3-2 ball game. He really tied into that. A line drive over the head of George Altman. The ball hit on the warning pad and bounced up against the right field fence, 371 feet out. Altman slipped on the warning track, and Larry Elliott coming over to help out on the play had to pick the ball up and wheel it back in. Now the Pirates have made it 3-2, and they have a dying run on second. Willie Stargell now has a double and home run three times at bat. Now the hitter is Don Glendinnen. Two outs, the tying run on second. The Pirates lack his future. They traded away Dick Stewart to the Red Sox to hand him the first base job. Now the pitch on the way. Ground ball rather slowly hit. It may be tough to get him. The play by Hunt across the first, not in time, a base hit. An infield hit for Don Glendinnen, and for a man 6'4", he has amazing speed. He beats it out for an infield hit, and now the Bucks have runners on first and third, two down. Glendinnen, a power hitter, and Brown was playing him deep at third. He took that big swing, but just hit a real slow roller. Right here, we pause for a station break. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
For Mets Baseball, for the best in music, news, and sports, keep your dial set at 810, the smoothest sound around, WGY Schenectady.
Now Fisher ready to pitch to Bob Bailey. A slow grounder hit down to third. Hunt is up with it. Now he pitches across, the side is out. Bad retired in the fifth inning. Pittsburgh, one run, three hits, no errors, two left on. So we've come halfway, and this historic opener, and the score at the end of 4.5. The New York Mets 3, and the Pittsburgh Pirates 2. Well, the World's Fair certainly is really going to be something. It will open next week on April 22nd, and I'm sure everyone along the Rangel beat will want to get out and see it. I know I will. It's right next to Shea Stadium, as you know, and can't think of a better way to spend the day than a couple of hours at the fair and then over here at Shea Stadium to see the Mets. And whenever you're at the fair, don't miss Rangel's Little Old New York, an authentic corner of New York City as it was in 1904. The ideal place to meet your friends. Rangel's Little Old New York, you'll find a cool village green, great for relaxing after you've seen the sights. There's a Victorian-style restaurant, the Rangel Tavern, a sidewalk cafe, band concerts on the green, fine food, and plenty of refreshing Rangel Extra Dry. As good to your taste as it is to your thirst. Your favorite team, the World's Fair, your favorite beer, it's all right here along the Rangel Beach. first half of the fifth inning, New York with George Altman batting against Bob Friend. It's thrown. Is it high into the air? A pop foul. It's going to be somewhere near the mound. Bailey falls down, but Condon is there and takes it for the out. Bailey, who was hoping to make the play, stumbled as he came over the pitching mound. But Don Condon had plenty of time to grab it. That was an amazing pop fly. As the ball players would say, that was a big league pop-up. Or a major league pop-up. Nobody on last half of the fifth inning. Now the hitter is Ron Hunt. It was Ron who started the three-run outburst with a double off Clemente's glove and deep right out by the wall leading off in the fourth inning. He later scored on a base hit by Jesse Gunder. And Sammy Somwell drove in the next two. It's thrown by Friend is inside and high. One ball and no strike. After Ron Hunt doubled and came around to score on Gander's hit to right. Real close play at the plate, a strong throw from Clemente, the right fielder. Pirates thought they might have had him, and the argument really was turned loose. Fastball over, a call strike. One ball, one strike. Well, a happy occasion, a tremendous day. You couldn't plan it out and have it come out any better. Up in the upper deck, a couple of youngsters that look to be college age are parading with a banner. Ground ball bounced down to third. Bailey takes the hop, knee high, drives and throws. In time for the out. Two down now in the last of the fifth inning. Jesse Gander singled to right, one hit and two times at bat and an RBI. Gander coming on for his third time up. Outfield swings around to right for Jesse Gander. Delivery by Friend. He starts him off with a knee-high fastball for a strike. Oh, if you're fascinated by the aviation age, you can put your baseball and aviation together. Let-up curve, low outside, one ball and one strike. You'll enjoy watching the big scoreboard, particularly on the night game. During the night games, the color effect goes into operation on the giant scoreboard. Musical background, when the music hits a certain note, why one color will flash on. If it goes to a low note, another color comes on. It's going to be something, as they say. Two balls and one strike on Jesse Gander. Pitching two and one. Backs it foul, back toward the upper deck. It'll be out of play. Today's game is the opener of a seven-game homestand. Three with the Pirates, two with the Phillies, and two with the Cubs. Pitching two and two. Ground ball hit down toward the hole and through a base hit to right field. Mazurowski left his feet, made a plunge for it, but it was out of his reach and goes into right. Gander has his second hit. Frank Thomas coming up. Frank had Dame Fortune going for him his last time at bat. He broke his bat. He hit a slow grounder right up the middle. It looked like a certain double play. But just as Mazurowski was set to field the ball, lo and behold, it hit the second base cushion and bounced into the outfield for a base hit. Big Frank standing right on top of the plate. The pitch by Friend. He lays off and the slider is outside. One ball and no strike. Larry Elliott is beyond deck hitter. He came into the ball game when Hickman was hit on the hand and had to leave the game. Larry came in as a runner, then went to the outfield. High pop fly on the left side of the infield. On the skin of the infield pass, Schofield taps the glove and makes the catch. Brad retired in the last half of the fifth inning. No runs, one hit, no errors, one left on. Five innings complete. New York, three runs, five hits, no errors. Pittsburgh, two runs, nine hits, and no errors. You know, season tickets to all the remaining 80 Mets home games are still on sale. And buying in advance means you avoid the possibility of having to wait in line for tickets to certain big games. Buying in advance assures you of the same good seat to all the rest of the home games. And certainly a special advantage, the Mets are host to the Major League All-Star Game this season. The Midsummer Classic is scheduled right here for Shea Stadium on Thursday, July the 7th. And those people who have purchased season tickets will be given special priority consideration. An allocation of the good seats are made for the All-Star Game. So you see, there's all kinds of pluses to being a Mets season box holder. Contact the Mets ticket offices at Shea Stadium for further information on how to obtain your season ticket. Sixth inning, Pittsburgh with the tail end of the batting order coming up against Jack Fisher. Jack has been hit hard the last four innings. He has had to struggle and had to pitch out of trouble in the fifth inning after the Pirates picked up a run. He now has given up nine hits. Long drive, foul. That's headed toward the upper deck in deep left field. Doesn't make the upper deck, but finally drops down to about the mezzanine level. Three to two, New York leading. Pirates hitting against Fisher. We're in the sixth inning. Now Jack over the head. Down comes his pitch. Curve outside and low. One ball, one strike. Roberto Clemente and Willie Stargell have been the big sluggers for Pittsburgh so far, each with two hits. Stargell with a double and a home run. Now the Mets have Jay Hook warming up in their bullpen out behind the right field wall. Low and outside. Two balls and one strike to count on Bill Mazeroski. The early part of the year, last season, they had Maz hitting cleanup. Strike on the outside corner, 2-2. He's looking at the slider. Chicago Cubs are leading Philadelphia on a two-run homer by Ron Santo and a run in the third. They lead the Phillies 3-0 at the end of three. Curve is over. Strike three. A beautiful curveball. It really broke away and out over the plate. The third strikeout for Jack Fisher, and it brings up the catcher, Orlando McFarland. Orlando McFarland came in when Tom Gorman chased catcher Jim Pagliarone. Fisher out of his windup, the pitch, it's over, a strike on the outside corner. Friend coming out of the on-deck circle. He undercuts the fastball and pops it a mile high. Who's going to take this one? In comes Harkness, near the mound. Tim Waiting has it. Two outs, nobody on in the top of the sixth inning, and now Friend, the pitcher, comes up to hit. Friend has taken a call third strike and flied to left. Two outs and nobody on, with New York leading Pittsburgh 3-2 in the sixth inning. Fisher looking in to Jesse Gonder for his sign. Larry Elliott a stride toward left center against Friend. Fast ball outside, one ball and no strike. Pitching in the first three games for the New York Mets has been very good. Fly hit rather deep to center, backpedaling is Larry Elliott. Now he flips the glasses and puts it away for the out. Side retired. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. At the end of 5.5 innings, the score, the Mets 3 and the Pirates 2. And now some music to have a cool rain go by.
There's a whole lot of living being done, a whole lot of living and a lot of fun, where two beloveds meet. Along the Rheingold beat. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your search for the cruel extra drive. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your search. So get where the living's being done, where the action is, and all the fun, on the Rheingold side of the street, along the Rheingold beat. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your search for the food extra dry. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your search.
Rheingold after Rheingold, Rheingold after Rheingold. Last half of the sixth inning, New York coming up against Bob Friend, and Larry Elliott will be leading off. At the end of 5 innings, the Orioles lead the Yankees in Baltimore 3-0 behind Steve Barber. Jim Bouton pitching for the Yankees. Home runs by rookie Tony Conigliaro and veteran Frank Malzone. The Red Sox at Fenway Park lead the White Sox 4-1 at the end of 4 behind Jack LeMay. Los Angeles 7, Detroit 2, there in the last of the 7th inning. Julio Navarro relieved Dean Chance in the 6th inning. Detroit has used Larry, Jerry, and now Gladys. Little Albie Pearson has a 2-run homer in that game. Tonight, Kansas City at Cleveland, Minnesota will be at Washington. The only day game in the National League other than this big game at Chase Stadium is at Chicago. The Cubs lead the Phillies 3-0 at the end of 3, Mahaffey against Ellsworth. Rest of the National League action takes place tonight. Now Larry Elliott hitting for the first time since coming into the ball game for Jim Hickman. Jim, after being hit on the hand, had to leave the ball game, and they'll have to take the precautionary x-rays and hope that nothing is broken. Now the windup and the pitch. Ground ball flies to the glove side of Mazeroski. Throws, not in hand. He juggled the ball, and then when he did throw, it was too late. No wait for the score. Ball hit toward the hole on the right side of the infield. It's a base hit. It is being changed to an error. An error charged to Mazeroski. Running to his glove side, he juggled the ground ball, and when he did throw, it was not in time. So Larry Elliott is on first, nobody out. The hitter is Tom Well. Sammy lines the double down the left field line, driving 2 runs in a 3-run fourth inning. Mets lead 3-2. Here's the pitch. They look for the bunt. It's over at the knees for a call strike. The second baseman, the on-deck hitter, then the pitcher, Jack Fisher. Mets hoping to add more to their lead as they hit against Bob Friend during the last of the sixth inning. Fly ball up to center field. Back about 2 strides, Bill Burton. Under it, and he has it for the out. One away and one on. Tom Well retired on the fly to center. That brings up Larry Burright. Larry has been up twice and tapped out to the pitcher both times. Now, Burr right up against Bob Friend. Now, here's the stretch by the veteran right-hander. Down comes the pitch. He bumps the ball down the first baseline. Friend is throwing to second, fourth play on the lead runner, Larry Elliott. Burr right trying to bunt him over. He was also trying to bunt for a base hit with one down. He hoped to push it by the pitcher, but didn't get it by him. And Friend had time to turn and take Elliott, the lead runner, off at second. For pitcher Jack Fisher. Jack batting for the third time has been struck out. Brad the bunny's way on and was thrown out. He was actually bunting on a safety squeeze. It's thrown by a friend, a grounded foul down the third baseline and out of play. Big crowd of somewhere around 50,000 for this historic opener. Many of the crowd are women. They are beautifully dressed. It's like a coming out party or something. And I guess it is. Now the pitcher on the way, low and outside. Islands and Nelson will probably get a rather fashionable bill because Mrs. Nelson is here all decked out in a brand new beautiful outfit. Next pitcher on the way. High fly, hit rather deep to right center. Out goes Burton. He's back to the warning track. He's got it. Jack leaned into that one. Burton had to go 390 feet away to pull it in Dustin right center. Side out with no runs, no hits, one error, one left on. Now six innings complete, and the score, the New York Mets 3 and the Pittsburgh Pirates 2. And now to detail the action for you, and for Rangel, here's Lindsey Nelson.
Have you made any plans yet? For after the game, I mean. If you haven't thought, then give some thought to all the great things there are to see, to do, to enjoy wherever you are along the Rheingold Beach. For this is the place where it's easy to find the best fun, the best food, and the best beer. Rheingold Extra Dry. Take one taste and you'll know Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst. Rheingold is brewed by people who love beer for people who love beer. With a crisp liveliness no other beer can match. So tonight, have a big time. Have a good time. Have a Rheingold. Have another. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst. Rheingold after Rheingold. We'll be going to the seventh inning here, and the Pittsburgh Pirates will send up the top of the batting order. Dick Schofield, Bill Verdon, and Roberto Clemente through six innings of play. It is the New York Mets, 3 runs, 6 hits, no errors. The Pittsburgh Pirates, 2 runs, 9 hits, 1 error. Schofield is 0 for 2 in a walk today. Jack Fisher, the starter, still in the ballgame for the New York Mets. Although the Mets have had Jay Hook loosening up out there in the bullpen for the last few innings. They have Larry Benares out there throwing now also. The bullpen's here at Shea Stadium are located beyond the outfield wall. There's a screened area where the men in the bullpen can sit and watch the progress of the game, but when they go out to warm up, they are beyond the wall. Now the pitch is inside for a ball. Ed Bauder is up and throwing also now in the bullpen for the Mets as they've gone from the long man, Jay Hook, to the short man, Bauder, and possibly Bernard. Bernard is scheduled to pitch tomorrow. Two and oh as it got Schofield at the plate. And this pitch is low and away for a ball. So it's gone out 3 balls, no strikes to Dick Schofield, opening up for the Pirates here in the top half of the seventh inning. He's a switch hitter. He bats left, of course, against the right-hand pitcher. Now pitch is fired right down the pike for a called strike one. 3-1. Bill Verdon is on deck. Here's a 3-1 delivery, and it's in there for a called strike two. It's a full count of 3-2. Pirates came into this afternoon's game with a record of 1 win and 1 loss. The Mets lost their first two in Philadelphia. Now the playoff pitch, and it's hung out and missed. He's striking out. John DeGostaval picks it up, tags Schofield. A strikeout, number 4 for Jack Fisher. Nobody on base, and Bill Verdon is the batter for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Grounded out, singled, and hit into a double play.
3 and the Pirates 2 here in the top half of the 7th inning on opening day at Shea Stadium in New York. Richard Fisher swung on and missed for a strike. Work on this stadium continued right on up till the time the umpire said play ball this afternoon. This pitch is inside. It's 1-1. But everybody was concerned, was anxious to get the ball game started, get underway here at Shea Stadium for what is bound to be an exciting baseball season. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Swung on and missed. It's 1-2. And here already, we've had a great many things happen in the very young baseball season at Shea Stadium. We have had Jim Pagliarone of the Pirates thrown out of the ballgame for protesting an umpire's decision. We have had a ground ball hit the bag at second, roll out in the center field for a base hit for Frank Thomas. Here's a pitch inside and low, dug out by Jesse Gonder. It's 2-2. On a ball hit by Sammy Samwell down the left field line, we had Frank Thomas round third, stop, look out into the outfield, and then come on, apparently thinking for a moment it might be a foul ball. And he was the second run involved, actually. He had been at second base. Had Bob Bailey come across the mound and fall down. We had Roberto Clemente go back, get his glove on a ball and drop it, and the soft surf out near the warning track. Here's a ground ball to second base. Burright has it, placed to Hartnett, and they're two away. Will bring up Roberto Clemente. He's 2-for-3 today. Struck out swinging the first time up and has singled his last two times up. He is a right-hand batter, hitting number 3 in manager Danny Murtaugh's Pittsburgh Pirate batting order. The Pirates world champions of 1960. This pitch is inside, and Clemente turned all the way around, didn't swing. Of course, took it inside for ball one. Here's a swing and a looper in the right field. It's going to be in there for a base hit. That was a looper in the right field. And Willie Stargell is coming up now. He's the left fielder. Willie Stargell batting cleanup in the Pirates batting order. In the box just to the right of the New York Mets dugout are Mrs. Casey Stengel, and in the box just beyond that, Mrs. Joan Payson, the principal owner of the New York Mets. There's a throw over to first, not in time. Pitch to the left-hand batter, and it's inside and low, backhanded by Gonder. Ball one to Stargell. Fisher looking in to get a sign now from Gonder. Clemente takes his lead at first. Harkness holds against the runner. The breaking ball misses high and away for ball two. It's 2-0. Right now we pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network. WHN New York, 1050, home of the wonderful...
For Mets baseball, for the best in music, news, and sports, keep your dial set at 810, the smoothest sound around. WGY Schenectady.
Bob Murphy at Shea Stadium in New York, and here's the pitch to Stargell. It's in there for a call strike. It's 2-1. Both starting pitchers are still in the game here as the Mets lead by a score of 3-2 in the top half of the 7th inning. Stadium next door to the New York World Fair, which will be opening next Wednesday. What a summer it's going to be around here. 2-1, swung on and foul back and out of play. This has got to be the most exciting summer that New York has seen in many, many years. 2-2 the count to Willie Stargell. See Jerry Lynch out of that left field position with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they have him in there in the cleanup slot. They pitcher again. Checks and deals. And the pitch is hit on the ground. Into right field for a base hit. Clemente around second. Goes on to third. As Altman throws it across the diamond, cut off by Samwell. Clemente holds it third. Churchill is on with his third hit of the day. He has a single, a double, and a home run so far. Right here, the Pirates. They're runners at first and third. Two men out. Don Clendenin is coming up, and Casey Stengel is going to the mound. Casey Stengel is going to the mound, and he signaled for the side armor. That would mean Bowder. He signaled with a low sweeping submarine motion. That would mean Ed Bowder. That's the signal again. He wants the man who throws underhand, and that's Ed Bowder that he's calling for. That's going to be all for Jack Fisher. We're waiting for the door to open, and it is opening out by the bullpen, and here comes Ed Bowder onto the field. That will be all for Jack Fisher, who is waiting for Bowder's arrival. Fisher should get a hand from this opening day crowd when he departs. Started spring training, was not on the Met roster. He was on the Buffalo roster, but turned in a couple of sterling performances to get himself moved up. Came to the Mets last year from St. Louis Cardinals. Fisher has pitched 6 2/3 innings, in which he has allowed 2 runs, but 11 hits. He has struck out 4 and walked 1. He is responsible for the 2 runners he leaves. Bowder is arriving now at the mound and is being announced. And Fisher leaves. So Jack Fisher, the first Mets pitcher ever at Shea Stadium, goes into the dugout. Casey Stengel is still on the mound talking to Ed Bowder. He'll be pitching to Don Clendenin, who is 1-3. Clendenin is a right-hand batter. Casey comes on by now to have a word with his catcher, Jesse Gonder, before heading on back into the Mets dugout. We're in the top half of the seventh. The Pirates trailing by 1 run, but making a bid here, and so the Mets have gone to the bullpen. Clendenin steps into the batter's box. Jay Hook and Bill Wakefield are now throwing in the Mets bullpen. Jay Hook and Bill Wakefield. Runners lead at first and third. Bowder works off the stretch. His first pitch is thrown on and fouled right off the foot of Clendenin and up into the air, grabbed by Gonder. It's a foul ball, strike one. This is an exploratory day for fans, players, and employees alike here at Shea Stadium. People walking around a little bit to try to explore the premises. Many of them came out in time for lunch today, of course. Here's a throw over to first. It's not in time. Sergio gets back safely. Clemente is the base runner at third. He's a daring base runner. And set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and full foul on the ground. Down toward third and Frank Osiak. Fields it right there on the coaching line. 2-strike count to Clendenin. The Mets 3 and the Pirates 2. Now the pitch to Clendenin, and it is swung on and fouled off, and the bat slips out of his hand and clears Frank Osiak at third and goes way on down where it's retrieved by the third base umpire. Chris Felicutis tosses it back up to Clendenin. He goes to the rosin bag. I think he might need it. That ball slipped out of his hand. Got a hold of enough of the ball to stay alive. A moment. Kicks at the rubber and now comes up to look in first time from Jesse Gonder. Dodger leads it first, Clemente leads it third. Two strike delivery and it's low for a ball. It's 1-2. 341 feet. Right down the line and left and right to the stands here at Chase Stadium. 358. Out to 371, out to 396, 410 to straightaway center field. And the pitch swung on, hit on the ground, and Tom Welch can't get it, and it's going to be Clemente coming in to score. Stargell goes to third, and Elliott comes up with the ball, plays it back in. Stargell holds, and Clendenin is on with a single and a run batted in, and it's a 3-3 ball game. They were playing Clendenin to pull with Sammy Samwell way over in the hole so that the ball went through where, had he been stationed at the usual shortstop position, he might have been able to play it. But they were playing Clendenin to pull, and so it went through for a base hit. So the Pirates have battled back here to tie it up. That run is charged against Jack Fisher. Stargell, who has moved to third, also is the responsibility of Fisher. And Bob Bailey is coming up. So the Mets are no longer in the lead as the score is tied 3-3. Two for three today. Bob is still working off the stretch, and the pitch is low for a ball. Bob Bailey had a great spring for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He had something less than a spectacular break-in season for the Pirates last year at third. Bob throws over the first night in time, and Hutchinson to move off about a 7-second throw. To get your attention here at Chase Stadium. People walking around, planes flying overhead. Here's a pitch, and it's low for a ball. 2-0. Casey single on the next to the top step of the dugout, looking out onto the field. Wakefield and Hook still throwing in the Met bullpen. First and third, and here's the pitch inside. It's gone now. Three balls and no strikes to Bob Bailey with Bill Mazeroski on deck. Bada kicks at the rubber again. Now comes up and sets. And the pitch. Swung on. Missed. He ripped it 3-0. It's 3-1. Bauer looks in to get a sign from Gonder. Pitch is swung on. It's a foul ball on the third baseline, continuing on down. Stargell hits the deck down there to keep from being hit by the batted ball. Gets up and goes slowly back to the bag at third. So it's a full count of 3-2 now. To Bob Bailey. With two men out, Clendenin at first will be moving on the pitch. Clendenin takes his lead. He's running. Here's a 3-2 pitch, foul back. That'll bring Clendenin back to first base. Down holds at 3-2. The Met grounds crew is checked out this afternoon in new uniforms. Blue with orange trim, orange caps, and a blue bill. Orange and blue, of course, the official colors of the Mets and of New York City, for that matter. Here's a pitch, and it's outside. He walked him. The bases are loaded. So Bill Mazeroski will be coming up with the bases loaded and two men out. The score tied 3-3. He is 1-for-3. Gondor goes out to check with Bowder. Mickey Vernon, the coach, is first. Over to say a word to Bob Bailey. Mickey Vernon, who last year, of course, was the manager of the Washington Senators before giving way to Gil Hodges. Here's a pitch, and it's in there for a called strike. Mass took it. Ken Bowder looks for the sign. He works straight away with the bases loaded. Takes the full windup. Pitch is hit on the ground. A slow roller toward Hunter's third. He'll have to cut it loose, and he does. And in time. Almost low, but dug up by Harkness at first base. That is retired in the top of the seventh. Hart's got one run, three hits, no errors, three left. Score at the end of 6.5 innings is the Mets 3 and the Pirates 3. Well, you've probably heard a lot about ball players' superstition, but fans seem to have almost as many. One friend of mine only lights a cigarette when his team comes to bat, and another smokes only during the odd-numbered inning. Well, whenever you smoke while you're enjoying the game, the way to enjoy each cigarette more is to make it a Viceroy, because Viceroy is scientifically made to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. That means Viceroy is not too strong, like some brands, but tastes almost as if they didn't have a filter at all. And Viceroy is not too light, like others. You know the kind, you smoke more and more of them because you don't get much taste. Well, Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the deep weave filter and the taste that's right. So next time, make it a Viceroy. See if you don't find Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the taste that's right. So the New York Mets will be coming up here in the bottom half of the seventh inning. And they'll have the top of the batting order up. Tim Harkness, George Altman, and Ron Hutt. Score tied, 3-3. Bob Friend still in there for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He has a record, a lifetime record against the Mets of 8 wins and no losses. They have never been able to beat him. They are hoping that this is the afternoon. Since so many things are new, they'd like to start off with a new record in that regard. Harkness is 1-for-3. Standing in and waiting now as Bob Friend deals, and it's low for ball one. The cry of let's go Mets here in the seventh inning, as many of the Mets fans who are up for the seventh inning stretch still is stretching and taking advantage of the opportunity also to loosen up their lungs a little bit. That pitch is in there for a called strike. It's 1-1. Waits, and Bob Friend comes with the pitch, let up, and it's hit on the ground to second. A big hop up to Mazeroski, and he plays on over to Clendenin. There's one away. That'll bring up big George Altman, who in his debut with the Mets has gone 0-for-3 so far. He's a left-hand batter. The pitch is low for a ball. out front is set, and the pitch is in there for a called strike. Glendinnen at first and Bailey at third guarding the line here. And Bailey is in, even with the edge of the grass at third. One pitch, swung on and foul, off to the left and into the stands, out of play. One and two now to the Met right fielder. In case you've joined us along the way, Jim Hickman was hit on the hand by a pitch ball and onto the hospital for x-rays. It is thought that it is only a bruise of the three fingers of the right hand. There's a swing and the ball is popped up to Mazeroski or Schofield. Schofield calls and takes it on the second base side. Two men out. And that will bring up Ron Hunt. Hunt is 1-for-3. He scored the first Met run of this ball game and thus became the first Met scorer at Shea Stadium. Is in there for a called strike. The official paid attendance here this afternoon on opening day at Shea Stadium, 48,736. Press and service, 1,576. Total in the ballpark, 50,312. Bob Friend with the pitch now inside. It's 1-1. Two men out and nobody on base. And the 1-1 pitch to Hunt. Hit on the ground towards second. Mazeroski has it, and he plays over to Clendon. And the Mets are out in order here in the bottom of the seventh. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. And the score at the end of seven innings is the Mets 3 and the Pirates 3. Right here, score tied 3-3 as we go to the top half of the eighth inning. And it is Orlando McFarland, the catcher, up for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Head out his pitch, swung on and fouled off to the right side and out of play. Orlando McFarland came into the game after Jim Paglioni, the starting catcher, was ejected by umpire Tom Gorman for a protesting call. Jim Bonner with the pitch and it swung on and hit in the air, back of the bag at third and drifting on over into the stands and out of play. And gave it a run, and then thought it was going to be on in the stand, so gave up. Well, it's a great opening day crowd here. The total is now posted on the scoreboard. 50,312. Total attendance at this ballpark for opening day. Bonner with the pitch, swung on, and it is looped into center field. That'll be in for a base hit. Larry Ellard over up with it, plays it in, and Orlando McFarland loops a single into center, opening up the top of the eighth here for the Pirates. Bob Friend coming up in the Mets now, of course, left to protect against the likelihood of the sacrifice here. Friend is reputed to be a rather accomplished bunter. Matter of fact, for many years, he has conducted bunting practice for the Pittsburgh Pirates pitchers. Jay Hooks up and throwing, so is Phil Wakefield for the New York Mets in the bullpen. Now to pitch, it is bunted and taken by John Deere, and he's going to go to first base where Burright takes the throw. Harkness hits the deck to get out of the way of John Deere's throw on over to first. It is a sacrifice. Friend going out from 2-4 as he's scoring on the bunt. It moves McFarland into scoring position at second and brings up Dick Schofield, who is 0-for-3 in a walk. Ron Hunt on the edge. edge of the infield grass at third base against the left-hand batter, Schofield. He's a switch hitter, batting left, of course, against Bowden. Swinging a foul ball off and out of play. Out of strike one to Dick Schofield. Garland takes his lead at second. The score is tied here. Pittsburgh 3 and the Mets 3. Swing on a miss. Two strike shots now to Schofield. Listen to Mickey Vernon down there coaching at first base. You may recall that when the Pittsburgh Pirates won the pennant in 1960, Vernon was a coach on Danny Murtaugh's staff. And in September, they had him on the active list. They used him as a pinch hitter in the stretch run that year. Then he went on to manage the Washington Senators, and it's come back now to Danny Murtaugh as a coach again. Pitch is outside. Schofield started to go and held up. It's one and two. Mickey Vernon down there was twice the batting champion of the American League during his playing days. Once he won it with Washington, once he won it with Cleveland. Dan Bauer with the pitch. Swung out and missed. Schofield has struck out. So Bauer shows up his first strikeout. And Bill Verdon is coming up now, 1-for-4. Yes, Jack Fisher was charged with the 3 runs at the Pirates there. Fisher cannot be the winning or losing pitcher in this first effort of his for the Mets and first at Shea Stadium. Pitches outside for a ball to Bill Verdon. Practically no wind at this moment here at Shea Stadium at all, with the flag hanging limply on the flagpole in center field, fluttering occasionally in the breeze. Here's a pitch to the left-hand batter, hit on the ground towards first base, and it's fielded in foul territory by Hartnett. That will bring Verdon back. Seth Scott Sullivan, well-known sports columnist from San Francisco, turned up this afternoon to cover opening day at Shea Stadium. And he was taking a little kidding before the ball game as various New York newspapermen asked him if he'd come to check the wind. But when you come from Candlestick Park, you may think it blows everywhere, but it doesn't. In fact, it blows nowhere like it does at Candlestick Park. That is one and one now to Bill Verdon at the plate. As Farland leads at second. There's a swing and a foul ball. It's one and two. Score aside, the Mets 3. And the Pirates 3. Tom Gorman takes a minute to brush off the plate. Carter looks for his sign. This is a 1-2 pitch. Two and two. A substantial number of the populace is in disagreement with Tom Gorman's call on the pitch. We're in the top half of the eighth inning. Burden swings the bat as he waits. As Farland leads at second. Pitch is swung on and fouled out to the left side out of play. 2-2 is the count. Ben Garman has to brush off the plate. And again, a 2-2 pitch.
get on the ground towards second. Burrard gets a big hop, and he plays on over to Hartnett. McFarlane moves to third, but the side is retired. Third out, of course, as McFarlane was ready to go in case anything happened to that one, but it didn't, and in the top half of the eighth. Burrard's got no runs on one hit, no errors, one left, and at the end of 7.5 innings, it is the Mets 3 and the Pirates 3 and the Mets. Bailey stations himself about 2 feet off the line at third, even with the edge of the grass. Ben Dillon is guarding the line at first, playing deep near the rim of the outfield grass. Playing on a foul ball off the line at third, and Bailey is over. He may have a play. He's in the warning track, and he makes the catch. Gonda has fouled out to third base. And now Frank Thomas is coming up. Frank had a single, the bottom of the fourth. Actually, it was a slow hit ground ball up the middle that Mazeronski moved over to play behind the bag at second. The ball hit the bag and went on out into center field. Thomas later scored. Thomas is 1-for-3. There's a swing and a one-hopper. Deep to Bailey at third. He guns across in time, and Thomas goes third to first. Now Larry Elliott, obtained by the Mets from the Pirate organization before the starting season. He was in Columbus last year. The Pirates had him up very briefly. Bob Bailey comes in to say something to Bob's friend. Bailey and Elliott were once teammates at Columbus. A wide stance at the plate. And that pitch is high for ball. The second night in Philadelphia, against the right hand pitcher, Casey Stengel started Larry Elliott in center field. However, it was still a right handed going. He decided to switch on to Hickman to start today at Shea Stadium until Hickman was injured. Somebody's flying a kite over the batter's background out in center field. Here's a pitch that is low for a ball. 2-0 to Elliott. He starts climbing the scoreboard at this point. It's going to be an interesting ballpark. And here's a pitch swung on and missed. It's 2-1. You never can tell about a house till you've lived in it, and you never can tell about a stadium until you see people in it. And this is a magnificent sight here this afternoon with more than 50,000 people on the premises. And here is the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and hit on the ground. Backhanded by Schofield. It's joined up with it, but it has no play, and it's a base hit. A base hit for Larry Elliott. Right now, we pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
For Mets Baseball, for the best in music, news, and sports, keep your dial set at 810, the smoothest sound around. WGY Schenectady.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Bob Murphy and Ralph Steiner at Shea Stadium in New York. Sammy Somwell is due up. He had a two-run double in the bottom of the fourth, but he's being called back now. Two men out here and a runner at first base. And it's going to be Ed Cranefield. Cranefield will bat for Somwell. Al Moran hustles down to the bullpen area so that he'll be warmed up to take over for Somwell at shortstop in the next inning. But J.C. Stengel is going to go to the left-hand batter here, Ed Cranebowl, against right-hander Bob Friend. With a runner on at first and two men out, score tied 3-3 in the bottom half of the eighth inning. Last year, when the Mets opened at the Polo Grounds in New York, Cranebowl was in right field and batted number 3 in the batting order. Left-hander Frank Bork is now warming up in the bullpen for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Left-hander Frank Bork. Pirates are moving Sargent and left over toward the left field line.
playing Cranesville hit to the opposite field. Here's a swing and a miss. He took a touch. In center field, Bill Verdon plays Cranesville straight away, lined up with a bag at second and the mound and home plate. Leads it first. Clinton and holds against the runner. And here's the pitch to Cranesville. Swung on and foul back out of play. A two-strike count now for the youngster from James Monroe High School in the Bronx. Now more action in the Pirate bullpen. Roy Face is up in throwing. So it's double barrel action, a lefty. Find Bork and a righty. Roy Face. Here's the pitch. Swung on, hit on the ground towards second, and Mazeroski gets it on the hot plays over in time, and Cranesville has grounded out. That is retired, and the bottom of the eighth with no runs, one hit, no errors, one left. Score at the end of eight innings is the Mets 3 and the Pirates 3. Well, of course, a lot of you already have the Mets yearbook from past years, and you certainly want to get the new one. Because it contains more than 200 photos of Mets players, the Mets family, Jay Stadium, even photos of the men who cover the Mets on radio and television. How about that? And also pictures of some of the baseball writers who cover the Mets. Also, there are pictures of stars of other clubs, the stadiums where the Mets play when they're on the road. Complete records of all the players, including such newcomers as John Stevenson, Bob Hawk Taylor, Bill Wakefield, Jerry Hensley, Larry Elliott. Sequence photos and game action of Jack Fisher, Carl Willie, George Altman, Tracy Salas, Ron Hunt. So don't miss getting your Mets yearbook. It's on sale here at Jay Stadium, and it's available by mail for 50 cents. If you'd like a copy of the yearbook by mail, just send 50 cents to Mets Yearbook, Jay Stadium, Flushing, New York. The Mets, Al Moran is in his shortstop now as Sammy Samwell came out for the pinch hitter. Moran is in his shortstop and will bat in place of Samwell in the batting order. That would be number 7. Pirates are coming up in the top of the ninth with the power of the batting order, Roberto Clemente, Willie Stargell, and Don Clendenin. Clemente is 3-for-4 today. Steps in now facing right-hand pitcher Ed Bowder. It's Bowder's game to win or lose as far as pitching records are concerned with the Mets. Same is true, of course, of Bob Friend to try to fill in for the Pirates. Here's a swing and a ground ball foul down the first baseline. Clemente turns out of the batter's box. Wants something. Another bat. Well, he doesn't want that one. He wants another one. To be sure. He's very particular about those sticks. And then he's a fellow who, after he gets two strikes sometimes, will go back to the bat rack and get another one an inch longer. That's taking one cut with that bat, he changed his mind. We'll be right back here again tomorrow afternoon to bring you the Mets and the Pirates, and it's Ladies' Day, the first Saturday of the season. Playing a ground ball, taken by Bowder on the mound. Runs on over, tosses underhand in time, and he got it. Good effort by Ed Bowder to stop the ground ball. Smashed back by Clemente. And that brings up Willie Stargell. Single, double, homered, and grounded out today. Back there ducking. He's in the front row just behind the screen, and he just wasn't too sure about everything. Strike one. Top of the ninth, Mets and the Pirates tied 3-3. Dodgers pitch, a little low. One and one. Dunnan is on deck for the Pirates. About as pitch is outside for ball. It's two and one. Hey, this is our first opportunity to check out the shadows at Shea Stadium. There are ballparks, of course, where the shadows become a matter of considerable concern. Yankee Stadium, for instance, and others. Shadows right now have covered most of the infield. There's a swing and a line drive in the center field for a base hit. Elliott started one way, held up now, and plays it back in. And Willie Stargell has his fourth hit of the day. Two singles, a double, and a home run. With one man out now, Don Clendenin coming up. Mike Thomas in left field is now in the shadow of the realm of light that topped this stadium. Elliott's in the sunlight in center, and Altman's in the sunlight in right. The infield area is in shadow, except for the fact that there is a slip there that Al Moran was just checking out. Just a little rim of sunlight between the roof, actually, of the top deck and the top deck. Glendenin's a right-hand batter, and the pitch is low and away for a ball. Out there with the ninth inning. Still takes his lead at first as Harkness holds against the runner there. Playing a ground ball foul over into the Pirate dugout located along third baseline. Sign and throws over to first, not in time. Dijkstra takes his lead, and here's a pitch. Swung on, hit on the ground, foul. Backhanded off the glove of Hunt. He came across the line, trying to stop it. It continued on down the line. Pitch one and two. Nigel hit his second inning home run to right field, right over the area where the Met bullpen is located, and over a low wire fence on up into the field box area. Playing a ground ball to the left side, going on through for a base hit. And Thomas is up with it. Here's a play at third, and Nigel pulls in safely at third. Clendenin bounced the base hit into left field as Hunt moved to his left to try to get good and could not. He made the dive, and he is covered with dirt now across the front of his uniform. That'll happen many times, of course, this season. One of the best customers the laundry has. And it'll be now Bob Bailey coming up. So Ed Bauder is in some trouble here with runners at first and third. One man out, score tied 3-3. Harkness comes over now to the mound. Gondo is out there. Now the conference breaks up. Bob Bailey. It's 2-for-3 in a walk so far today. Of course, what the Mets would like most of all right here is the double play ball. But because the game situation, they're having to play that infield in. Here's a swing and a drive into the glove of Hutt. And no further advance. A line shot that Hutt picked right off his shoetop. Who can drop back with two away, and Mazeroski coming up.
He hit that one on the button, and Hunt pitched it right off his shoe toss for the out. No chance to try to double anybody because the runners didn't have time to get that far off the bag. Now it's Mazeroski up. He's 1-for-4. The announcement you heard in the background was asking fans in center field to get off the top of the fence. There were some youngsters out there who climbed up on top of it. Now the pitch to Maz. Swung on and missed for strike one. Infield brought back, of course, not a normal depth. That's 3 in the Pirates 3. Opening day at Shea Stadium. Again, check. Here's the pitch. That's going up the middle for a base hit. That'll score a run. It starts. Here comes on to score. Moving on to third. It's Rendon on the throw over. He slides in safely. Holding it first is Mazeroski with a single up the middle. A run batted in, and the Pirates lead in the top of the ninth, 4-3. Runners at first and third still. Two men out, and Orlando McFarland coming up. As the Pittsburgh Pirates again have taken the lead in this ball game. They took an early lead in the second inning on Stargell's home run. Then the Mets scored 3 in the fourth to lead 3-1. The Pirates got one back in the fifth. It was 3-2 until the seventh. The Pirates tied it there 3-3. And now in the ninth, the Pirates have taken the lead 4-3. There's a pitch low for a ball. Around the outfield, works on the ball, kicks at the rubber, looks into Gondi for his sign. That pitch is low. It's 2-0. Swings the bat as he waits. Ground ball, good third. A big hop up to Ron Hutton. He goes to Burright for the fourth there that retires the side. But in the top of the ninth, the Pirates got one run on 3 hits. No errors and 2 left. And at the end of 8.5 innings, it is the Pirates 4 and the Mets 3. And here's music to think of Rheingold in any language by.
Tiene el rico sabor y refresca mejor.
¡Extra light!
¡Ay, ay, ay! Rheingold tiene el rico sabor y refresca mejor.
In any language, it's easy to understand why Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst. Extra dry brewing makes the difference. Makes each Rheingold so smooth, so crisp, so satisfying. Rheingold after Rheingold, it's as good to your taste as it is to your thirst.
Well, the Mets are trailing by one run as we go to the bottom half of the ninth inning. Larry Burright is scheduled up. It would be Larry Burright, Ed Bowd, and Tim Hargis, but we can look for Stacy to go to his bench here to try to get something started. With the Pirates holding a 4-3 lead. The Pirates have 16 hits in this ballgame. The Mets have 7. John Stevenson is swinging the bat now. Young John Stevenson. And apparently he's going to bat for Burright. He's had only 1 year in baseball prior to this at Auburn last year in the New York 10 League. Young man from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. First time up in the major league for him, opening night at Philadelphia. He ripped one across the bag at first and looked to be ticketed for extra bases, but a great play by Ruben Amaro of the Phillies turned it into an out.
Bailey, the third baseman, was called over to the Pirate dugout by manager Danny Murtaugh, giving a message to take out to Bob Quinn and his catcher, Orlando McFarlane. The New York Mets will be trying to get something, anything started here in the bottom half of the ninth inning with the Pirates leading them by a score of 4-3. Bob Friend with the first pitch of the inning. Swung on and missed, strike one. With the pitch. Swung on. Little number down to first base line. A foul ball. Ben Dunham bare hands it. Ben has two quick strikes on young John Stevenson. Stevenson has a wide stance, an open stance. Ben's pitch is outside for a ball. It's 1-2. Nobody on deck at this moment. Bowder is due up next. Casey Stengel with his foot on the top step of the dugout. Now the pitch swung on and missed. He struck him out. Strikeout number 4 for Bob Friend today. Now who's going to bat for Bowder? As yet, no one has come out of the dugout. It's going to be Hawk Taylor. Bob Taylor will bat for Ed Bowder. Well, he is capable of giving the ball a long ride. If he gets a hold of it, he can hit for distance. And that's what the Mets need right here. Tim Harkness will be next up. Swinging a couple of bats as he comes around. He was signed initially, as many of you know, by the Milwaukee Braves for a bonus of more than $100,000 in 1957. He has been injury-ridden, injury-prone during his career and was sold to the New York Mets before the start of the season. A conditional purchase that was consummated during spring training. He had a fine spring. I think he's in there for a tall strike. Nobody on base. The Pirates 4, the Mets 3. One on the curveball and missed. Two strike count. Taylor steps out of the batter's box now to get a handful of dirt. Now he's back in. That's the plate. Friend with a two-strike delivery. Swing on and miss. Struck him out with a hard slider. Strikeout number 5 for Friend, who's had two strikeouts here in the bottom of the ninth. And so it's up to Tim Harkness as far as the Mets are concerned. Pirates lead him 4-3, two men out, nobody on base in this, the bottom half of the ninth inning. Friend winds and fires, and the pitch is high for a ball. Harkness is 1-for-4 today. He had the first net hit at Shea Stadium. A single to right in the third inning. Swinging a ground ball towards second. Mazeroski squares it, plays on over, and the game is over. As the Pirates have taken the opener from the Mets by a score of 4-3, Bob Friend retiring the side in order in the bottom of the ninth with no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. So the final score of the game is the Pittsburgh Pirates 4 and the New York Mets 3. And so opening day is over at Shea Stadium in New York. The New York Mets led briefly in this ball game, but the Pittsburgh Pirates went ahead again in the top half of the ninth inning to win it. A crowd here this afternoon for opening day of 50,312. Total attendance, 48,736. The total paid attendance. Of course, pregame ceremonies before the start of today's first game at Shea Stadium. And then it was Bob Brown going against Jack Fisher. The Pittsburgh Pirates scored first when Willie Churchill hit a home run in the right field at the top of the second. The Pirates were out in front. Bob Friend did not give the Mets a hit until the bottom of the third when Jim Harkness singled with two men out, but died right there. But then the New York Mets came back in the bottom half of the fourth inning to pick up a total of 3-1. Ron Hunt led off with a double. Jesse Gondar singled him home. Mike Thomas then hit a slow ground ball up the middle that hit the bag at second base and bounded on out into short center field. Otherwise, it might have been a double play. Jim Hickman was hit by a pitch ball and left the game at that point. It was his hand, and he was sent on to the hospital to be x-rayed. It was thought to be only a bruise of the right hand. But with the bases loaded in, Tommy Samwell drilled a double into left field to score 2 runs, and the Mets had their 3 runs to go ahead by a score of 3-1. But the Pirates came back in the top of the fifth. They came back with Dick Schofield walking. Bill Verdon hit into a double play. Clemente single, and Stargill doubled him home. So it was a 3-2 ball game. Then in the top half of the seventh inning, the Pittsburgh Pirates added one more when Roberto Clemente was singled home by Don Clendenin. The run was charged against Jack Fisher, who left in that inning, although Clendenin's hit was off Ed Bowden. It was a 3-3 ball game until the top of the ninth. And at that point, Dargill singled, Clendenin singled, and Bill Mazeroski singled to drive in what proved to be the winning run. Final totals for the Pittsburgh Pirates, 4 runs on 16 hits and 1 error. For the Mets, 3 runs on 7 hits and no error. The winning pitcher, Bob Friend, who now has won 1 and lost none. He has stretched his streak over the Mets in his lifetime to 9 wins and no losses. The loser for the Mets, Ed Bowder, he has won none and lost 1. That just about wraps up another New York Mets game brought to you by Rheingold Extra Dry and Viceroy Cigarettes. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst because it's brewed extra dry. Tune in tomorrow afternoon when we'll be right back here at 1:55 to bring you the New York Mets and the Pittsburgh Pirates from Shea Stadium in New York. Be sure to have plenty of Rheingold Extra Dry on ice. It's the favorite beer of pigeons all along the Rheingold beach. Smoother, crisper, livelier, Rheingold after Rheingold. This is Lindsay Nelson saying so long for Bob Murphy, Ralph Kiner, our statistician Matt Willett, our engineer Bobby Durkin, our producer Joe Gallagher, and the brewers of Rheingold Extra Dry and the makers of Viceroy Cigarettes. Viceroy, scientifically made to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the deep weave filter and the taste that's right. Final score, the Pirates 4, the Mets 3. So long, everybody. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
And this is WGY, your New York Mets.